Now, the voices of Bronco Athletics, Bob Beeler and Chris Lewis on Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.
Madden Holiday is here and we will play all night. Call in sick and sound sincere, in tackles will delight. The fridge is packed with drink and meat, the taste of victory sure is sweet. Come, my friends, on this launch day, Hail Marys we will throw. It's Madden NFL, hooray, we'll humble all our foes.
Seven's coming!
Rated E for everyone.
It's a holiday! It's Madden holiday! And with it being a holiday weekend, in a way, that means Bob isn't on this show.
Because another three-day weekend?
Not quite. He'll be on the next show, though.
Did he call in sick to play Madden?
And sounds sincere, and tackles with a light for him.
How did he call in sick and we didn't?
That's a shame, man. I got that Madden last night. This is Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio The Ticket. Got Michael Fisher in the Bob Beeler seats. Got JP, who will be in and out throughout the show. Fish will be moving different places throughout the show. This is just like a line change, a pit stop of Idaho Sports Talk from 1 to 3 before it's Bob and Prater taking over from 3 until 6. That was the commercial from Madden 2007. Like, if you hear the 07's coming, it's like, oh, Santa's coming. They're trying to be funny back in 2007. So that's 11 years ago, because Madden 18 is the one that came out, I guess, at midnight last night or today, Friday the 25th. And I made sure I got it. But before we get to the thoughts on Madden 18, and we'll be joined by one of the designers of Madden 18 coming up in about 10 minutes from now, I feel like there's a relationship between Madden and fantasy football. It's almost like fantasy football, with its growth over the last 4, 5, 6 years, has really kind of eaten into a little bit of the market share of video games and Madden. Madden, like back in 2002, 3, 4, 5, that era, like Madden was huge. Dynasty mode, franchise mode, fantasy drafts, you could do one inside of Madden. It's sort of tailed off a little bit because fantasy football has been that football simulation for a lot of people who used to go to Madden to be able to do it. But I will stay on this hill until the day I die. Madden in its prime gave birth to a smarter football fan than these fantasy football fans. People used to learn football by Madden. They used to be able to master the 2-minute drill because they learned the game of football through Madden. And to be good at Madden, you had to be good at the 2-minute drill. You had to know the difference between a Tampa 2 and a Cover 3 and a flat zone and man-to-man defense. Like, all that goes into being an effective Madden player. You had to learn how to set up a defense with your play calling, run to set up the pass, mix in some play action. Now with the 2017, we got a bunch of people who are into football for fantasy football reasons. So people are simply learning players through results and stats. Oh, this guy can get 10 catches for 100 yards in a game. But they're not learning it through the process. They're just learning it through the results that come from the process. The video game people, the people who are the OGs like myself, and I think you're probably in this category, right?
I like to think so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we learn about it through the process. We know about the slants, the dig routes, the curl routes, the outs, the goes. And that's how we learn about the game of football. So yesterday being Madden holiday was also my fantasy football draft day. So both of those worlds kind of collided at once. Both are fun. I'm not saying fantasy football. I'm not hating on it. If you know me, I love talking fantasy football. But Madden culture, still a unique thing. And the people who learn about football through Madden, I will continue to say they know football better than the people who just came aboard for fantasy football.
It's because
reasons.
People who fantasy football is not even close to real football. People who play fantasy football, it'd be 3rd and 13. Your number one receiver is triple covered. But if that quarterback doesn't throw to him, you're throwing your TV at the remote because you need those 5 fantasy points.
You're throwing your TV at the remote?
Yes.
Or you're throwing your remote at if you're throwing your TV at the remote, you're really doing things backwards.
You've got, well, that's how upset you backwards. Are. You're like, why is he throwing to the number 3 guy for a first down? My guy's wide open for 6 yards. That put me over 100. I get the 100-yard bonus. That's 3 fantasy points right there. That's how backwards it is.
You get all confused and you want to throw your TV through your remote. Okay. So, yeah, I'm with you. Like, people AJ Green, did he get his 100 yards?
Instead exactly.
Like, how does AJ Green get his 100 yards, and how can I replicate that into the video game? Now, there are some people, I just love the game of football because I like playing the game of football. But yeah, you understand that not everybody is really fast and not everybody's really strong, so you need some way to get into the game without being an athlete, and fantasy football and video games are kind of the two ways to be able to get in there. All right, so taking a look at this year's games, quick thoughts. And again, Madden 18, today's the launch day of it. The new gaming system, they call it Frostbite. My opinion, made the game run a little bit smoother.
Were your players cold?
They weren't cold. They weren't chilly.
You couldn't see their breath, so we're good.
No.
Okay, they're not losing
I didn't
toes.
Play a cold weather. I didn't play a cold weather game in Green Bay. I'll get to the team I used and why I used them in a second here. Hit Stick is back. Y'all remember 2005, you had Ray Lewis on the cover of Madden? They had to introduce the hit stick. Actually took it out in the last couple of Maddens. The hit stick is back. Some of those animations and being able to force a fumble. One of the games I had, I think I played four games last night. And one of the games, I was facing the Cardinals. They were driving down the field. This was like the second drive of the game, was up 7-0. Dude threw a post route to Larry Fitzgerald right by the 5-yard line. Free safety came over and delivered the hit stick right as he caught it, forced a fumble, recovered the fumble, and that game ended up being a shutout. So that kept them off the board.
I don't think Larry Fitzgerald fumbles that, though.
Played that defense.
We need a review.
You don't think the ratings
are
accurate?
Also, I don't play defense as a Saints fan. I just kind of like do the motions on defense. I don't care about the hit stick.
We've seen you in the Madden tournaments with the ticket. We've had a couple of Dave and Buster's.
I held you to seven.
You give up them points.
I held you to seven.
You still lost. I held you to three. So I still was able to win that. You can't execute in the red zone. Soundtrack is fire. The soundtrack was really good.
Le'Veon Bell's on the soundtrack, right? Or am I confusing that with 2K that has Damian Lillard?
Damian Lillard's
okay,
on the 2K.
Okay, I was confusing you.
I don't know. I didn't hear any Le'Veon Bell. It came on Kendrick Lamar, DNA. That song was playing. Big fan of that song. Soundtrack is very solid. Play is pretty similar to last year, which a lot of people would say is a complaint, right? Like, yeah, it's a new game, should be a lot different. It plays kind of the same, and I think that'd be a negative for a lot of people. I think the defenses were smarter. I was playing against my roommate in the first game, and we're making some throws that we're usually able to complete, except the DBs react a different way, and they're able to, like, you know, actually have a brain and be able to go out of their zone to defend a man who's somewhat near them, but maybe not exactly in their zone. So they do a little bit of tweaks like that to make it difficult.
Now you're playing your first game against your roommate. Don't tell me this was a Madden Force game.
It was a Madden Force game.
I haven't picked it up yet, and I'll get to that in about 40 minutes about the worst thing about the Madden release. But I hate that they make you play this weird prologue. What, 3 years ago it was Cam Newton versus Seattle in the NFC Championship game. Last year was the debacle of the Rams made the playoffs, and you were driving down in the wild card game
with
in the Coliseum.
We'll throw it to Tavon Austin.
And speaking of that, were you supposed to lose that?
No, you were supposed to win that.
My roommate, he gets all the way down. We score. They're like, okay, you got to go for two. It says, do you want to do an outside run with Todd Gurley or outside slant with Austin? I'm like, all right, let's throw it to Austin. No one likes running the ball. Throw it to Austin. He's wide open. He drops it.
Nah, you're just so bad.
See, I thought that was programmed in. I hate. So what was it this year? I mean, I have a feeling I know what it is. But
it was a Super Bowl rematch.
Are you down 28-3?
Nah, they didn't. They didn't make it Tom Brady the hero. No, Brady's on the cover of that, and they wanted to put you in that same situation. Well, no, it's actually just the beginning of the game. It's
did you play the whole game?
Yeah, it's Patriots. It's Falcons. It's the beginning of the game. You got to play it. Learn how to play. And I did get that dub against my roommate using the Falcons, so I'm sure a lot of Atlanta fans would be like, yeah, that's how the Super Bowl should have ended, with Atlanta not blowing that lead. I haven't tried the new story mode. There's a lot of talk about this new story mode that is in this year, where you have to play as a certain
long
character.
Long shot mode?
Yeah, I haven't done that. That's usually not my lane. I'm more of a, let's get online and let's try to school some people online, not try to do this individual story mode, but I'm sure that'll be for some people out there. And now the process behind finding my Madden team. Well, if you've listened to this show, you know how high I am on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for this year. They fit a lot of the things that I like through a Madden team, which makes me use them. They have a quarterback who can throw it deep. Now, I haven't really thrown it deep yet in this game at all. Through the first few games, really only my completions were to the tight ends, which is crucial because with the tight ends completions being at least a little bit easier because they're right in front of you when you're just starting, you're like a quarterback. Who's a young quarterback? Their best friend, they always say, is the tight end.
Yeah.
When you're just playing a video game and just learning how to play, your best friend is your tight end. It's right in front of you.
Captain check down.
So they got a couple of them. Look at O.J. Howard, that rookie. He can get deep. His speed's an 87.
Ooh, that's not too
bad.
He
can get down the field like that. Cameron Brake can catch. He got them hands. I think he is 88 with his catching ability, which is really good for a tight end. So you use those two, even bring in a third tight end, and Doug Martin can run in this game. Now his rating is actually lower to start this year than it was to start last year, because hey, last year he was coming off of a great season. This year he's not coming off of a great season, but you put three tight ends in there, move the piles a little bit, Doug Martin can break some tackles.
Did you fix your depth chart?
I had to put him at the front because he wasn't.
Did you put McNichol second?
I put Charles Sims second.
Come
McNichols
on.
Was third.
Come
McNichols
on.
Was my second third down back, though. So if on third down back, if Charles Sims was tired, then Jeremy McNichols would play. He was second on my depth chart for that. So Bucks are my Madden team. You haven't played yet. Once you find a way to get into a little bit of rhythm, I'm going to use the Bucks. You're going to go down. Hopefully it'll be in front of people who are, you know, fans of this show, so I can embarrass you again like I did a few months ago when we had the Madden tournament and you only scored 3 points against me and I beat you 7-3 with the Bengals.
Burn.
There you go. JP, fan of me. He's in my student section. Yes, he's back to being a student. JP likes being younger. Listen to the ticket on your way to and from the Broncos Fan Appreciation Day and practice at Albertson Stadium tomorrow. Mike Prater, Bob Beeler, and myself will preview and review the Broncos final scrimmage before the home opener against Troy. Player and coach interviews, analysis, 1 o'clock Saturday and right after the scrimmage on your FM home for Bronco Football Sports Radio 93.1 The Ticket. So what is a Madden designer, a designer of the game, excited about? Find out next, Sports Radio, The Ticket. Madden Holiday is here. I did not play all night because I had a radio show to host the next day and, you know, other stuff I need to do, too. No Bob Beeler on this show. He'll be on the next show. No Caves on the next show, but Prater will be there. It's Bob and Prater, but right now, Chris and Fish, JP's just going to be around town throughout the day. Clint Oldenburg, one of the designers of Madden 18. He also was a former NFL offensive lineman. So an interesting perspective of a designer of a game, but also somebody who played in the game, played in the NFL. So Clint Oldenburg joining us now. Clint, what is your favorite addition to the new Madden 18 that comes out today?
Man, that's tough. There's three big ones. So I'm going to give you the three that I'm most excited about. The first is Frostbite. We have a new engine. We're on the Frostbite engine like we shipped FIFA last year. Battlefield has been on Frostbite for a few years. We're really excited about everything that that brings us. We have a new story mode in Madden that we've never had before called Long Shot. People are really excited about that. And then lastly, we have a new online cooperative team play mode called Mutt Squads where you can jump on and play 3-on-3 with your friends.
Hmm. All right, so Frostbite engine. You mentioned that. I have no idea what a Frostbite engine is, and I'm kind of into video games. I know a lot of people are like, wait a minute, Frostbite, does that mean my players get cold? What's going on here?
Frostbite is our proprietary name of our engine. What that does is brings us a lot of new visuals. The game's going to look a lot better. It's going to be a lot more crisp. More so than that is we have all of our games now working on the same engine. And so you have people across all of the EA labels solving all the same problems instead of each team individually on their own engine. So you're going to see all of our games get better as a result of that.
Now, talking about the story mode, what exactly is kind of the point of Long Shot mode? And can you kind of give us a little preview of what it's going to look like for players when they start it up?
Yeah, Long Shot is a story mode like nothing you've really ever seen before in a video game. You're going to play through the journey of our main character. His name is Devin Wade. And it's his path to the draft, starting from when he's a little kid up until the NFL draft. And you take him through his high school, his college, even some John Gruden-style quarterback camp, things like that. And it's his path. You're playing a movie based around football and Madden. It's teaching you about the game of football. It's teaching you about Madden, and it's also telling a really engaging and an emotional story about Devin Wade and the people in his life as he's trying to make the NFL.
Just because I like random questions, like, why did you guys pick the name Devin Wade? Like, I just was curious. Like, was there like a meeting? Like, what should we name this guy? And after 4 days of discussion, you guys decided on Devin Wade? Like, how does that come about?
I think it took more than 4 days. This story's been in production of about 3 years now, so it's been a long time coming. And we have a team of writers, people, you know, from Hollywood, from all over the country that have worked on this mode, and they're really excited to get it out. I'm not exactly sure how they landed on that name, but I'm sure they have very good reason.
Designer of Madden 18, Clint Oldenburg, joining us here on Idaho Sports Talk. Former NFL player at that, too. So when you try to bring the elements of realism that you were familiar with playing the game and trying to put it into the video game, like, what are some of the challenges of, like, trying to make it realistic but playable at the same time?
That's a challenge I work with every day. So I'm a gameplay designer. So what my gig is everything that happens between the white lines from whistle to whistle. I work on everything that has to do with football. Like you said, the challenge is taking something that people watch on Sundays and go to the stadiums to watch and take that 3-hour experience and condense that down into a 25, 30, 35-minute experience and take the most fun aspects of that. Because number one, we want our games to be fun for everyone. So you want to take out, you know, people talk about they want a simulation experience or an authentic experience. We want to deliver that, but we want to make sure that we take out all the things that maybe aren't so fun, like commercial breaks and timeouts and things like that that make the games drag on. We want to pack all the punch that you guys love about football and deliver that to you on your couch in 25, 30 minutes.
Now, Clint, speaking about the gameplay, you were an offensive lineman, offensive tackle of the NFL. Offensive line is really the only position you don't have any control over when you're playing Madden. So what goes into making it so that the offensive line AI kind of responds in a realistic manner?
In the words of Lee Corso, not so fast, my friend. So I'm going to answer your question, but first, in Mutt Squads, our team play mode that I told you about, you can control offensive linemen now in the running game, and we actually have mechanics for you. There's a new blocking mechanic, so you can go for an impact block to try to pancake the guy, or you can cut block, and that's all on the right stick, just like hit stick on defense. So you can do that now until you're very happy, until your heart desires. You can play as a lineman, which is fantastic.
There you go.
Secondly, the AI, I work very closely with the AI of our offensive linemen. I think the biggest challenge is our little digital guys don't have brains, and the fans, our players, expect them to play and behave and react just like they see on Sundays on TV. And so the logic that we need to put in with our artificial intelligence has to be so deep and so detailed. It actually has to account for more in our game due to all the adjustments we allow, the hot routes and the audibles and everything that we allow our users to create in our game. We have to account for more than real-life NFL linemen have to do. And that is an ongoing process. We work on that every single year, and I think every year it's gotten better.
Now, how much when you, and we're joined by Clint Oldenburg, one of the designers from Madden 18, how much of like a new like cycle of Madden, a new year of Madden, how much of it is thinking of new features that you want to add in, like the story mode that you guys have come up with for this year, and how much of it is actually improving what is in between the lines, like what you said your job description is?
Well, if I had to put a percentage on it, I'd say it's probably about 70-30. About 70% of our year is the new features, the things that we are most passionate about for that year's game. And then the other 30%, specifically when we get the alpha, like I had mentioned, alpha is our crunch time. That's when we're trying to get a beta candidate, and our alpha lasts about 4 months. And that's when we're working 60-hour weeks and doing everything we can to make the game better. That's when we do the most improvements from things that our community, our players, want to see year over year. There's always a certain list of things that they want improved from the previous game, and that's when we concentrate on that.
Now, Clint, I know a big thing for Madden, especially the videos, is we're letting the rookies know what their ratings are, showing the rookies. Last year we had two late-round rookies, Dak Prescott and Jordan Howard, really kind of blow up. Did that change how you guys rate late-round rookies so they're more playable at the start of the year, or do you still kind of rate them real low and let them blow up in real life first?
Yeah, that didn't really change. We still want to – basically, our philosophy is we want you to go out and prove it. And we've never, ever in the history of Madden had a player call us or talk to us on Twitter and be happy with their ratings. That's just how it is. No one is ever happy. They want to be faster. They want to be stronger. And that's how it is, and we're okay with that. And like you said, with Howard and Prescott, They were pretty low rated coming into the game last year, just as any other rookie in their slot would have been. But because we do roster updates all season long, you show us, you know, what you got, you prove it week in and week out, you go up pretty quickly.
Are you somebody who has input on the ratings, and what is the process of coming up with ratings year after year?
So we have one guy here that does the ratings. His name is Dustin Smith, and that's his only job. He does the ratings. I do have a little input. We all here at Madden have a little input. We'll go to him with what we think is appropriate, and sometimes he'll appease us and do what we want him to, and sometimes he won't. But it's really his job, and he watches a lot of film, and he stays on top of the league, you know, more so than anyone I know. He's got access to all these different websites and all kinds of data, and he tries to make them as realistic as possible.
Clinton Oldenburg, former NFL player, now designer for Madden 18. Now, like, even ESPN has a lot of analysts. Like, Pro Football Focus still has, like, four or five people who are some of the main contributors for there, and they are, you know, evaluating players at the highest level. But Madden only has one guy in charge of all this.
Yeah, we have one guy. And like I said, we help him out, but he's one of the best. He knows what he's doing. Most importantly for us is making the game play how we want it to play. So there may be Pro Football Focus has a grade on a certain guy, and ESPN talks about the guy in a certain aspect, but we need to have our ratings match the formulas the way they work in our game. And we want the stats to be as realistic as possible. So that's what's most important, is making the game fun and making the game play that the way it needs to play to be fun and balanced.
What is the one thing you're looking forward to the most? Is it the Mutt Squad? Is it the story mode? What are you looking forward to most playing?
I'm personally looking most forward to Mutt Squads. We haven't been able to play with our friends on Madden since Madden 25, which is about 4 or 5 years ago, The last time we had supported online team play. And it's just been a blast. We've play tested it. We've taken it around to shows. We had EA Play out in Los Angeles in June, and everyone has loved it. Everyone that's come across us has been playing it. Raving reviews. People have a lot of fun, and they're engaging with Madden in a different way. Normally you go in one-on-one and it's a sweaty, you're locked in and you're trying to out strategize your opponent, and it's focused and you're stressed out when you're done playing. This is a different way to play. You're with your friends, you're having fun, you're trying to scheme up and do fun things and get the ball in everyone's hands. It's a completely different experience. I'm really looking forward to it.
I will say, you did sum up my Madden playing experience pretty good there with that stressfulness and trying to out-scheme the opponent. So before I let you go, the question that I have, and I know I'm in the minority with this, and I don't even know if you were part of the team when this feature was there, but I loved the vision cone. I thought that was a fantastic feature back in Madden, was it 2006? And it's gone away because apparently people weren't good enough at like reading defenses and like changing your vision cone to highlight receivers. But I thought that added an element of realism, yet wasn't too difficult. So how do you judge the feedback for something like that? Because clearly the feedback was that this thing had to go, and it hasn't come back since.
I'm glad you mentioned that. So again, I have a two-part answer for you. First, we actually implemented a feature very similar to that this year. It's a new gameplay mechanic called target passing. And it's not quite the vision cone, but what it does is you can use a modifier. It's left trigger, and you can bring up a target on the field. And you can move that target anywhere you want to any receiver that you want and place the ball at that exact location. And you can actually use that against your opponent to look off the coverage. So you can show it over to the left and then swing it over to the right real quick and throw it. Or you can even bluff it over to the left, turn it off, and then throw it to the right. So we are bringing that idea back. But as you mentioned, the vision cone was definitely the most controversial feature that we'd ever put in Madden. And there was a select few hardcore, and it sounds like you're part of that group, that loved it. They thought it was ultra realistic and thought that it was the way that the game should have been going. But on the other side, there was a large cohort of our community that thought it was completely too hardcore and took the fun away from Madden and didn't, and ended up turning it off. And so that's what I was talking about earlier, where you have to balance realism and fun and make sure that people are engaging with the game and want to keep engaging with the game as this Madden season continues. But with that specifically, we always revisit. We take the feedback on both sides, and it came to fruition this year. We were able to come up with something that we think matches the expectations of both sides, and there's something like that back in the game.
Now, you said like the Madden community, you got the feedback from that. Where do you look to get that feedback?
primarily social media. We also have a Game Changer program, so you can hit up myself on Twitter. I'm at Clint Oldenburg. You can also hit up at Rex Dixon. He's our creative director. We have a number of people on Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, Twitch, even all of that. We're all over that. Game Changer program, those guys are the people we bring in to play the game a couple times before it launches. They give us feedback, and they're also responsible for getting out into the public and talking to people and giving us the feedback from them.
And that's Clint Oldenburg, the designer of Madden 18, one of the many part of a team that, sure, today is always exciting for them because it's the day the public gets a chance to play their game. We are freezing for a reason. Again, Friday, September 1st at Maverick on Cloverdale and Eustick in Boise. Come on by, watch Bob and I. Here's a Prater broadcast from a beer cooler jammed with Coors Banquet beer. For every case of Coors Banquet sold, the Wildland Firefighter Foundation will receive 25 cents. We are freezing for a reason. Friday, September 1st on Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Tickets. Fish, we got an update coming up. What we got?
Well, we'll get off the virtual field, get onto the real football field. Jay Ajayi, great debut last night. Plus, we'll get to some of the text about Madden. That's coming up next on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
The Ticket Sports Update.
This Ticket Sports Update, sponsored by Idaho Foot and Ankle Associates at Boise Meridian and Nampa. They measure success 1 foot at a time. You know another good way to measure success, Chris? That'd be one touchdown at a time. Jay Ajayi had two great successes last night. Week 3 of the preseason, 53 yards for Ajayi on 9 carries and 2 touchdowns, both from within the 5-yard line. First round pick in my fantasy football draft, right, Chris?
Well, it depends where you are in the first round, right?
Number
picking
one.
Him over David Johnson?
One pick one, round one.
We're going to have Jake Letarski on at 2 o'clock of RotoWire. He's their fantasy football guy, also MMA guy, so we'll talk a little fight with him because everybody's talking a little bit of fight with everybody who they know. You can't really walk around your office without hearing something about Mayweather or McGregor. So we'll talk about that, but we're also going to discuss running backs. And I don't think he's going to advise taking Jay Ajayi with the number one pick. That being said, like I had this scenario in my fantasy draft last night. It's the same league that Bob's wife is in, so we'll have a little bit of conversation about this league, especially the week we play each other, which is week 8. In the draft, $41 auction draft was the price that Ajayi went for. Also, the price that Todd Gurley went for. I ended up getting Gurley. I could have had maybe perhaps Ajayi for around the same range. And I'm on the Todd Gurley side, although I think Ajayi could have a great year too. I just like the Rams offense a little bit better this year in terms of improvements. If last year was the worst case scenario for Gurley, he was still okay. Like, he wasn't great. He wasn't even good for where you drafted him, but he wasn't awful. And if it's up from here, I like the ceiling from Gurley, but I'll be interested to see what Jake Letarski says. Ajayi versus Gurley, who would you go with?
As a football fan, it is just paying you to say I like the Rams offense.
A little bit better. I was the guy, I think it was the year plus or minus a couple, but let's just say 2007, I had Mark Bulger, Steven Jackson, and Torrey Holt on my fantasy team.
How'd that work for you?
It wasn't a good year for the Rams. They ended up like falling down. They were coming off a year where they were good. Like Steven Jackson, he was money. He was a fantasy first rounder for a while. Torrey Holt, legend, and Mark Bulger, you could play when
playable.
He was on. He fell off really quickly with a lot of concussions. But I have gone all in on the Rams before. And that was when they were in St. Louis.
Well, talking football, just a couple more Broncos in action tonight. Week 3 of the preseason continues. Shane McClellan on the Patriots start at 5 p.m. Then at 6 p.m., Reese Odhiambo looks going to get the start at left tackle for the Seahawks. But more importantly, it'll be the debut of the Tony Romo Show on CBS Sports. Are you excited?
I will watch, though.
How do you grade play-by-play? Or not play, I guess he's color. How do you grade color? Because as a quarterback, oh, that was a bad read. He should have gone there. He threw a pick. How do I grade him?
Well, A, does he make the broadcast more enjoyable? Like, that's for the casual football fan. Like, John Madden, did he make the broadcast on Fox more enjoyable? Did you say, hey, this guy sounds pretty friendly. I don't know about the insight or whatever you would get. Like, his analysis, I don't know, Frank Caliendo style. But, you know, if you score more points, you have a good chance to win the game. Like, sometimes the analysis is that simple. Tony Romo. I still can't believe he's not in the NFL. Dude wasn't that far removed from being an MVP caliber player, and now all of a sudden he's with Jim Nance, and he's with the number one team, and Phil Simms is going to be in the studio somewhere. Life comes at you fast.
And Phil Simms is a Super Bowl winner. That's, at least he always will have that on Tony Romo. Just show the ring. Well, Chris, been talking bad. We got a couple texts. We were talking what makes a smarter player, or football fan, Madden or fantasy football. Tim and Boyd said he agrees. Madden makes a smarter fan, but for him, he had to switch to fantasy to keep up his IQ because $70 every year for Madden compared to free fantasy football is a no-brainer.
Yeah, that's a good one. It'll hit you in the pocketbook.
I want to be friends with Tim. Every time I try to play fantasy with my friends, it's like, how much are we betting this year?
Is it 20? Is it 30?
Exactly.
Is it 50?
Exactly.
If you start to get 50, like, you could get a couple of video games. I didn't bring up this point, but one of the greatest what-ifs in video game history, in sports history, is what if EA Sports did not gather the exclusive license from the NFL to make games, and 2K was still allowed to make games? Remember 2K5? The video gamers out there remember ESPN, yep. NFL 2K5. That was a pretty good video game. That was a high quality, one of the better video games of all time, and it was $20. Like, what would have happened if they kept selling their games for $20?
Either Madden would be $20, we'd have better football games, or we'd be complaining that 2K bought out the NFL and we'd have no Madden.
You think 2K would have had the exclusive deal? 2K hasn't been able to negotiate anything exclusive.
That's true. Well,
even though they have the best NBA game, nobody argues.
Basically exclusive. Nobody buys NBA Live.
NBA Live just fell off, like, we know we can't compete with this. And then they came back, and it still looks like garbage.
Well, speaking of Madden, we were talking about Long Shot Mode. Chris, you haven't played it yet. Ross in Houston said, Long Shot Mode, actually really well done. It feels like Friday Night Lights with the music and everything.
Yo, they got music up in there? They got music playing in the back? It's produce like a TV show? All right, maybe I'll check it out. I'm not one of the people who are into, like, story modes. I barely do franchise mode in Madden because I'm just so competitive. I want to beat people. I don't want to beat the computer. I want to beat other humans. I'm into the strategy part of it. Computer, you never feel like you're out-strategizing somebody. No. When I'm facing a human being, I feel like I am getting the upper hand on the mental part of the game. But if this story mode is produced where I'm, like, watching a Netflix documentary and it's really compelling, if there's been a couple, NBA Ballers, for example, that was a story mode basketball game. It was like a one-on-one tournament. I got into that. I thought that was a cool story. And as you got accolades, you would be able to, like, buy jewelry and bling and cars and all that stuff. So maybe it's kind of like that, and I'll check it out.
Wait, how much money did you get? Was it enough to...
Club, I was like, well, I don't think nothing wrong with going to the script club. It ain't no sin to go to the script club, you know. I was just being rebellion.
Was it enough money to be rebellion, or did they? Was there no rebellion in that game?
I mean, if it's in the game, it's in the game. Didn't that used to be the slogan for EA Sports?
It's in the game.
If it's in the game, well, Pac-Man is in the game, and Pac-Man is
being rebellion.
You know, he's a rebellion. There ain't no sin to go to the strip club, but the rating would have to change from rated E for everyone to rated M for mature real quick.
True, and you talk about playing real people. Chris, we got a text from Colin Boise. He says, Chris, you play Madden Ultimate Team, and do you play on the PS4? If so, he wants to play you. I will say, Cole, this works a lot like Pokemon. Chris is the reigning gym leader right now. You want to play Chris, you got to get through the original, the peon here. You got to beat me to get to Chris. If you can't beat me, you can't play Chris. But Chris, would you like to play with Cole? He's been in our Madden tournaments before.
I want to play against Cole.
Or against Cole.
I'll play against Cole. I'm not... You are real hype about this.
Oh, I am so hyped for this Mutt Squad.
3-on-3 Mutt Squad. Man. Like, you can get a couple of your buddies and play with them. I'm not about that life.
Well,
I
want to
be me and play against you.
Three other people versus three other people. That's where it gets good. You know, otherwise you had to put your, like, friend on. He'd run a receiver route. You'd be playing against the computer on all Madden. And you'd run some wonky backyard stuff. But 3-on-3, oh, man. That is what I'm most excited for. I don't care about long shot mode. It could look like a Leo DiCaprio film, and I wouldn't play it.
Who's stuck being the left tackle?
I think you only have to play left tackle on running plays.
I don't want to be the offensive lineman. It just seems boring.
I got a friend who's not the greatest at Madden. I'll probably stick him at left tackle.
There you go.
I won't tell him. I'll just be like, hey, man, left tackle's really important on this play. I know you want to play with us.
And then do a playmaker stick and go to the other side. Don't even run to the left, run to the right.
Like, did you see that block? I was like, yeah, nobody even touched me from the left side. It was crazy.
Now, like, shout out to the people who are like, you guys are talking about video games on a sports show. Well, yeah, we're talking about a sports video game. You're lucky you brought up Pokemon. We're lucky we're not talking Pokemon for a half hour.
Let's go back to Pokemon Go.
People were talking Pokemon Go a year ago today. This is what everybody was talking about. I can talk about my experience playing, like, the Game Boy Advance Pokemon Silver, but I figured y'all didn't want to hear about that.
And we'll end the sports update with something you don't want to hear about, Chris Lewis, but I love hearing about it. That would be the shining star of college basketball, LeVar Ball. So CBS continued their candid coaches segment. They anonymously surveyed over 100 coaches. This time, the question was, if the youngest ball, LaMelo, were to reopen his recruitment, would you go after him? And 51.1% of coaches said no, they wouldn't. It's not all of ours fault. One coach was quoted as saying, LaMelo Ball would prevent me from recruiting LaMelo Ball.
Yeah, I mean, I could see why some people wouldn't want him. He doesn't seem like he fits into a team concept very well. And he might not be, like, good enough to be an individual show at the college level, but there is some talent there. And would you bring him on board just so you could have that hair on your campus? Yeah. You know, his hair is like Odell Beckham legendary. It's pretty good.
I would want him on Boise State's roster just because I want to see LaVar Ball at the games. Who cares if you win 9 games a la Markelle Fultz? If LaVar Ball's there, you're selling more tickets?
Yeah, it's funny. What kind of... Who were they polling, you said, of coaches?
It was 100 FBS coaches in college basketball.
So...
Could be anywhere from Calipari to the University of Idaho.
Yeah, I feel like some of these teams who are depleted of talent, if you could add somebody who's like a 4-star recruit, like you should...
You'd do it right away. It wouldn't matter.
Try to make it work. Like, go ahead and... You win the WAC? Go ahead and add on LaMelo Ball and try to make it work. And get, you got LaVar Ball there. That'll help with recruiting. Hey, LaVar, Fish, you're not too far away from the age of the people that are out there being recruited. And you're all about that LaVar Ball life.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So if LaVar Ball is repping your school.
There was one coach who was also quoted as saying, I'd do it. They gave me a shot at getting those, some of those big baller shoes.
Of course.
I would. That would be the selling point. If he said, we'll give you a sneak, we'll give you your own shoe line, done.
All comes back to the kicks. Kicks and quick hits. Kind of rhymes. Quick hits coming up next, where Fish and I, we tackle 4 topics, rapid fire fashion, including a great college basketball event. Speaking of hoops, that's coming to a close after this year. That's next on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Quick hits with Bob and Chris. Topic number one.
All right, so no Bob. I know the lady lied again. I'm sorry. Bob ain't here, although Bob will be here. Bob might be even in this building somewhere.
Bob needs to apologize to that lady.
for making her a liar a lot. No, quite a bit. Bob is going to host with Prater from 3 to 6 because Caves is not here. So it's Fish and I doing quick hits, and millennials messed up something in baseball again. They annoyed them?
Yeah, apparently millennials are pissing off Brett Gardner because it's the players' weekend in MLB. They're allowing them to wear nicknames on the back of their uniforms. They're going with a little more fun stuff. Well, Brett Gardner, he's old school. He's the longest tenured Yankee. He's been part of the team since 2005, and he said, I'm more of an old school guy. Never really had a nickname, so he asked MLB, can I just leave my, you know, wear the pinstripes, no nickname on the back, because that's his personality. And MLB said, no, you have to have something on the jersey. So it's like, I don't have a freaking nickname, so just put my name on it.
Don't be boring. So you have to be exciting.
His personality is just be one of the guys. Can't do that, so you got to be a big shot, apparently, most millennials. That's what MLB's saying.
Can he be blank? Could he write literally blank on the back of his jersey? B-L-A-N-K. So it's kind of like a joke. He's showing some personality that he doesn't have any personality.
I mean, Conor McGregor had that suit where he had pinstripes, but they had words written out. He could go that route, right? Put his name, Gardner, and just spell out pinstripes? Maybe that would work.
Topic number two.
All right, Chris, why do bullpen pitchers for the Yankees and Tigers have to be in shape?
Because they got to do a lot of running. That's what happens when you clear the benches 3 different times in a game yesterday that was, I guess, a game or a fight. I'm not even sure which one it was. But my number one takeaway, beyond the we've had this debate on whether beanballs still have a place in baseball, throwing near the head. You know, Miguel Cabrera got taken down and got punched, sucker punched on the ground maybe a couple of times. But my takeaway was, these bullpen guys must be exhausted by the end of this because they got to run from the outfield all the way to home plate 3 different times in the game. And then, of course, they have to go back to the bullpen. Then they got to go back out when the bench is clear again and then back to the bullpen and then back out to home plate when the bench is clear again. And they aren't just lollygagging out there. They sprinting. They running. They look like Usain Bolt if Usain Bolt was a little bit out of shape and not 6'5".
So his last race.
And long legs. So, yeah, maybe his last race. So, yes, if you're in a bullpen, you have to continue to do cardio just in case you're one of the ones who has to run out there by home plate.
Well, the good thing about being slow, you don't run into each other, a la the San Francisco Giants.
Topic number 3.
What is the dumbest thing about video game releases?
It's the midnight release. You were able to go get the game at midnight.
I may have gotten it a little bit earlier.
Yeah,
than
see,
that,
that's the other thing. Sometimes, you know, the company says, oh, if it's 12 o'clock East Coast, you can get it 10 o'clock Mountain, 9 o'clock Pacific when I lived in Washington. But some stores don't allow that. They make you wait till midnight no matter what. So there's somebody who's got 3 hours ahead of you. I hate it. I got caught up playing with some friends last night, doing some other things. Boom. I was like, oh, I missed that. I guess I got to get it tomorrow. And then sometimes they release them on Tuesdays. It's a school night. Parents aren't okay with their kids being out till 1 a.m. because there's the long line. Just get rid of midnight releases. Just release it at like 3 o'clock when school gets out.
Release it for the kids.
The show gets over, school gets out, let me go get my event. I don't need midnight releases in games.
Well, when this Madden, apparently if you like got the GOAT edition or something, you could have gotten it a few days early. I called around actually for this. GameStop apparently, the one I went to that was by my house, they said 9 o'clock is when they were allowed to release it. But they close at about 10. So I literally got there at 10:05, and they were still open, and I got my hands on it. Of course, you could set your PlayStation or Xbox to automatically download it at midnight, right?
Yeah, but I wanted the hard copy. Got to have the hard copy.
So yeah, there was a little bit of a problem, but I got my hands on it and was able to play it a bit last night.
Topic number four.
All right, Chris, what great college basketball event is coming to an end this year? It's not LeVar Ball, I know that.
Nah, it's the Great Alaska Shootout, though. LeVar Ball would never be caught dead in Alaska, probably. He seems like a California guy. Yeah, 40th Great Alaska Shootout this year will be the last edition of the long-running college basketball tournament. Started back in 1978. It's had some top teams in it, and it is one of the more traditional ones of the Thanksgiving tournaments. Now there are so many of them, and they said that, you know, they're just not making the type of money, and it's hard for them to put it on. As somebody who's been to the Great Alaska Shootout, granted for the women's basketball side when Boise State was in it a few years ago, that arena is really nice. The people there put on a great event, so I'm sorry to see this go, but I would say I think a lot of these players would rather go to the Bahamas.
A good riddance. There's only one sporting event that should be in Alaska. That's the Iditarod.
Stop it. The midnight baseball game, that's in the daylight.
Nope.
And their summer baseball
league. Iditarod or go home.
Big weekend for fantasy football drafts. 208-424-9300, commercial tire text line. Your questions for Jake Letarski of RotoWire next on The Ticket. I hope you enjoyed those 3 minutes during the Bronco Sports Today where you heard Bob's voice, because you won't be hearing it for the next hour. You'll hear it from 3 to 6, though, because Bob's doing that show. Caves is not doing that show. Prater is still doing that show. Fish is doing this show, but just sitting in Bob's chair. JP's doing both shows. Follow?
I'm on board. Magical chairs.
Okay. Magical chairs or musical chairs? What does a magical chair do? I love when you mess up your analogies. They're so funny when you mess them up. They're a lot better when you mess them up than when you nail them. Jake Letarski of RotoWire. He's a fantasy football guy there. Also, mixed martial arts guy there. So we got a little bit of a fight this weekend we'll get to. We'll start with fantasy football. Of course, if you have questions you want to get in, there's still time on the commercial tire text line. That is 208-424-9300. Jake, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining.
Hey, thanks as always for having me. It's the biggest weekend of the year for fantasy football drafts. And hey, there just so happens to be a fight this weekend. So a lot going on for sure.
Yeah, your life is probably pretty good right now. I had my fantasy football draft yesterday. We'll get to that in a second. First, though, there's a question for everybody can be included on. Third week of the preseason. This is a week where starters usually play the first half, even into the second half. So what can you learn this week in the preseason that you can't learn other times throughout the preseason?
Well, again, it all comes down to those job battles. We know there's a lot of positional job battles, especially at the quarterback position, but really those aren't going to affect your fantasy teams much because, you know, if you're fighting for your job at this stage, you know, whether it's Blake Bortles, Chad Henne, or whether it's the Sean Kizer with the Browns against Brock Osweiler, you're probably not getting taken in fantasy drafts anyway. So nothing to worry about there, but there have been a couple interesting running back situations that have came up that will have fantasy implications. The Perrine Kelly in Washington, LeGarrette Blount struggling a little bit, and Wendell Smallwood in Philadelphia. So there's a few things that might be able to shake out a little bit, and those are all going to be definitely worth watching this week.
Now, speaking of running backs, there was three running backs that changed teams, Eddie Lacy, Latavius Murray, and Adrian Peterson. Should we keep an eye on how much they play in Week 3 versus the other guys they're competing with, like Thomas Rawls, Delvin Cook, or do you think it's kind of set since they're veterans that they're not going to play much in the preseason?
Well, they're not going to play much in the preseason, and actually all those guys you mentioned do have slight risks, or at the very least, they're in timeshares. I mean, Dalvin Cook's rising in ADP up to the third, sometimes late second round is where he's been going in my drafts lately. And that's been pretty fair because Latavius Murray has been out the whole season or the whole preseason. And Dalvin Cook has really been excelling with that opportunity. And you go to New Orleans with Adrian Peterson. He's going to have some type of a role, but we saw Alvin Kamara bust out that big run last weekend. And of course, Mark Ingram's still around. So there's a lot of uncertainty, even though Eddie Lacy's supposed to be the starter in Seattle. I'm really trying to target guys like C.J. Procise in the late rounds of PPR formats. Thomas Rawls might be the less raw skills of all those backs, but he's also someone to maybe watch in the later rounds because Lacy's still looking pretty heavy, and we're going to see how things go with him early on, and he might not be someone that'll be able to sustain your fantasy team for 16 games or 13 games of the playoffs.
And as a Sixers fan, you said about C.J. Procise. I say trust the Procise. I know it's a process playoff a joke. See, somebody out there is laughing
there
at that
go.
Joke.
Yeah. I mean, he looked good in a short sample last year, and then he got hurt again. So yeah. He's got to get healthy. I think he can be a factor in PPR formats at some point this year.
Jake Letarski of RotoWire, fantasy football guy, also MMA guy. If you have a question for him, fantasy football, text it in 208-424-9300. We're talking running backs. Want to get to the top tier, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson. These are two that are in competition for the number one pick. Who would you say is the top running back and why?
I still think it's David Johnson just because he's going to be super involved in all areas of the game and he's safe. He doesn't, I mean, the holdout's not going to affect Le'Veon Bell, but I would give that pick to David Johnson. He's checking in as the number one in terms of average draft position in just about all formats, you know, and of course with the Ezekiel Elliott suspension, he falls out of that top tier a little bit. I don't think you can go wrong with either or. So if you get one of those first two picks, your decision's made for you, essentially. If you're picking number two, just take the guy the first guy didn't take because both of those backs are excellent, but I do give that slight edge to David Johnson one more time.
Well, now with Le'Veon Bell holding out, it's kind of made known he's not going to play in the preseason. If you get Le'Veon Bell, how important is it to handcuff him with taking James Conner? Do you kind of take James Conner a little earlier, or do you just, you know, let it ride, and if Le'Veon Bell gets hurt, you just move on to the next running back?
Yeah, I mean, it's never a bad idea to handcuff running backs. Sometimes I think the concept's a little bit overrated because if you stretch too much, you're potentially sacrificing other useful positions. But I can definitely see making a case for James Conner right around the 12th round, I guess, if you're a Le'Veon Bell owner. The one thing with Bell, you want to watch him week one to see how he is because he won't have the preseason to get his timing and all of that situated. But if he comes through week one unscathed, uninjured, looks good, then you know you're set the rest of the year, and you probably aren't going to need James Conner barring any type of injury.
Jake Letarski, RotoWire.com, joining us on Idaho Sports Talk. What's your overall philosophy when it comes to running backs? It used to be in fantasy football, you grabbed your two running backs early because there wasn't many of them, and you wanted to make sure you locked into a couple of feature guys. You could make the argument that there's less of those feature guys now than there were, let's say, 10 years ago, so that strategy would be even more valuable. But what are your feelings on the running backs and whether to get them early or whether to wait on that position?
Well, we've already discussed the first two picks are those two feature guys in Bell and Johnson. After that, rounding out the top five, I have LeSean McCoy, Melvin Gordon, and Devontae Freeman. But where they go in the first round is varying quite a bit because after those first two, we're seeing a lot of people, and including myself, with the strategy being to grab receivers because it's less volatile from week to week, you know, in that second tier of receivers. So get your guys so you're not trying to struggle with that decision every week. And then I'm searching the middle rounds and going quantity over quality in running backs with the hopes of somebody breaking out. So some breakout candidates I might like would be Amir Abdullah, Paul Perkins, guys that are, who could very well establish themselves on the radar this season. And then you can stack up on the deep sleepers too. You mentioned Procise already, but Wendell Smallwood's looking better and better with LeGarrette Blount struggling. You know, those Eagles and Doug Peterson like to run the off-tackle stuff, and that's not really LeGarrette Blount's strength. So, you know, Wendell Smallwood, even DeAndre Washington, because I'm not as high on Marshawn Lynch as many people are. I'm not sure that year off of football is going to treat him well. So, you know, I'm looking to stack up quantity over quality and get those skilled receivers in the first round. That is, of course, if I don't get those top two guys.
I talk about getting those skilled receivers in the first round. If, say, you have pick number four, you know Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, Antonio Brown probably going to be off the board. You've got three receivers there, and Odell Beckham Jr., who's coming off an ankle injury. Julio Jones, who had a breakout year and lost his offensive coordinator. And then Mike Evans, who now has DeSean Jackson across the field from him, who's going to take some of his catches. If you're at pick number four, which one of those receivers are you going for that you think is going to have the best year, or are you just going for the one that has the least downside?
You know, there's a couple questions about that Odell Beckham injury, but I'm thinking he'll be good. If he does miss a week, it's just week one. One interesting thing I did note in the National Fantasy Football Championship, I look at their ADP a lot, and Odell Beckham has been the number two wide receiver consensus all of the season until just very recently. Julio Jones actually slipped past him, but it's only by a hair. To be honest, I don't think you can go wrong with either of those guys. I'm not too worried about like the Brandon Marshall coming to take anything from Odell Beckham. He's still one of the most skilled physically wide receivers in the entire league. Julio Jones, the red zone usage over the years hasn't been great, so I still think I'd lean Odell Beckham. Of course, that's a health situation you want to watch. And then, of course, number four, Mike Evans. It doesn't look like the arrival of the rookie tight end O.J. Howard or DeSean Jackson is going to cut into his targets at all. He's been used heavily in the preseason, and he will continue to be one of the most targeted volume or highest volume receivers in the league, which gives him a lot of upside in PPR formats. So Evans is fourth in that group, and I round up my top five with A.J. Green.
How does the depth at receiver compare to the depth at running back that you mentioned before?
Depth at receiver is significantly better, which is why it's really important to get those top couple tiers. But, receiver, there's that top five that I really like, and then there's guys after that in another group, your Jordy Nelsons, your Dez Bryant. So chances are you could get a pretty solid top-tier receiver in the first round that you're going to be able to lock into your lineup week to week. But there are plenty of potential breakout candidates and sleepers. I mean, one guy that I like to discuss a little bit is as far as breakout candidates, Michael Thomas on the Saints. He's going late first round, early second round in a lot of my drafts. If you watch the preseason here, Devontae Parker's turning into one of Jay Cutler's favorite targets. You can get him in kind of the middle rounds. And there's some good high upside sleepers later on that you can get to in drafts that could have breakout years. So it definitely it's a deep receiving class, but I do like to shore up with the top tier, especially if you're in the middle of the first round when you're picking.
Now, Jake, let's go to quarterbacks. We know Big Ben has the weapons in Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and Martavis Bryant. What should we expect? Is he going to have a bounce-back year, or is he just too old now to really be reliant in fantasy football in terms of a starting quarterback?
You know, I don't mind Ben Roethlisberger, but both in the RotoWire rankings and my personal rankings, he's outside of the top 12, which doesn't make him a QB1. The age is a little bit of a concern. The home-road splits are an even bigger concern. And kind of related to age is just the injury history. I believe he's missed 6 games in the last 2 years. You're not necessarily going to be able to count on him for a full season. So, you know, you kind of want to look around to that tier and maybe grab another guy in the similar range. Maybe a Derek Carr or a Matt Stafford who's pretty consistent and offers a high floor. Even your Philip Rivers and Andy Daltons are all decent. You probably want to get another quarterback that you can rotate with Ben Roethlisberger because RotoWire has him 15 overall. That's a little bit lower than his ADP, but I'll stand by the RotoWire ranking in this case because I'm not quite sure he's a QB1 either.
Another one texted in, and we're joined by Jake Lecharski of RotoWire. You can text your fantasy football questions at 208-424-9300. This is way down the list of receivers. Zay Jones on the Bills, who's trying to work his way into the rotation there, or Kevin Galladay, who's one of the preseason stars for the Lions.
You know, I'm going to go. It's been a really – it's tough so far, and, of course, Zay Jones gets a boost with the departure of Anquan Boldin, which was short-lived, of course. And he does certainly have some upside, but I'm not quite sure if that whole situation and that team and they won't give Tyrod Taylor their vote of confidence. So, and of course, just being the rookie he is. So he's more of a guy who I'm looking to target next year, depending on how kind of role he shakes out this year. I do like Galladay to win that number three receiver job in Detroit. And he had 2 touchdowns in that preseason game. He's someone Stafford will look to, and I think he could slowly creep into the role of what Marvin Jones was last year. And we know he had some big games, of course, faded a bit towards the end of the year. So I guess if it came down to those two in a coin flip, I would take Galladay, but you're right, that is quite far down the list, and you're not counting on starters when you're at the point where you're drafting those guys.
Now, Jake, talking about young guys, we all know last year Ezekiel Elliott jumped on the scene as a rookie, had a great fantasy year. When it comes to rookie running back between Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, maybe Joe Mixon, is there one guy that you think needs to be targeted earlier than them, or do you think they're all kind of going to be busts and kind of let everyone down after the year Ezekiel Elliott had?
Well, I think that Dalvin Cook should actually jump his name into that tier. I put him right up there with Christian McCaffrey, and this is something that's unique to me. You don't see this opinion around there, but I put Fournette as the number three back in that group. I'm just a little bit worried about Fournette. He hasn't played in the preseason yet, been a little bit banged up. And then, of course, the Jaguars and that whole mess of a quarterback situation, mess of a team. We saw last year with Todd Gurley, a back with all the skills in the world, but no quarterback player, no other real threats on offense, really struggle when teams got to load up the box. And Fournette, as a rookie, might have to face some of those same challenges. It's, of course, it's almost assumed that he's going to get the starting job. There's not a whole lot else to compete with there, but I'm not quite as high on Fournette as I am some of those other guys. I like Dalvin Cook and I like Christian McCaffrey a little bit better, and if it's a PPR format, I like them a lot of it better.
Jake Letarski of RotoWire Fantasy Football, also MMA there, and that's where I want to go to next, with the fight being tomorrow. Weigh in today. There was a lot of hype about McGregor suddenly having a chance. You follow MMA very close with your knowledge on it. Do you think McGregor is in any way a matchup made for Mayweather?
I would give him probably less than a 5% chance to win this fight. I want to root for him. I'm going to pull for him as a writer that's more centered on the MMA side of things than the boxing side of things. And I do think it's going to be a very interesting fight. But, I mean, Floyd Mayweather has defeated 49 classically trained boxers in his career, and he does not get hit. And the big thing with McGregor and the people that think he's going to win believe he can land that one big, that, you know, that fighter's chance, that one punch that can stop the fight or start a sequence that stops the fight. But 49 people haven't been able to do that to Floyd. I don't necessarily care if he's 40. He still looks like his footwork's good. I think McGregor's going to have a tough time getting hit. That being said, a lot of people are predicting a knockout by Floyd. He himself even guaranteed it. I'm not necessarily sure I see a Floyd Mayweather knockout happening either in this fight, because McGregor's had a heck of a chin. He's used to getting shins and elbows and knees right off of that chin in the MMA, in the octagon. And that hasn't fazed him. So one, there's the chin. Two, McGregor's a bigger man. He's a younger man. So it's going to be very, very tough to knock him out. If he does get knocked out, it's not going to be because of one big punch. It's going to be a very long lead up, a culmination of different punches, body shots especially, and that would happen in the later rounds. But I do think, and it's not a popular opinion, but I do think McGregor can hang in there with him.
So you think this is most likely going to go the distance and be a Mayweather by decision?
Yes, that would be my prediction for the fight, Mayweather by decision. And, you know, you can get some decent props in there, even better than the odds of just going for Mayweather straight up early on. So I think McGregor can hang in there, and I think he's got the chin to do it, and it'll be respectable. There's no way that McGregor will be able to outpoint him over 12 rounds. There's no way he'll be able to get a decision. You never know if he gets something, if he connects earlier on, but I do think that Mayweather will outpoint him. It's not going to be quite as exciting as it's built up to be, but man, this build up, this spectacle has been unlike anything we've ever seen in combat sports.
Jake Letarski of RotoWire, we appreciate it. Fantasy football and MMA. We'll talk next week, talking a bit more about each when you return next week. Appreciate it, Jake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again for having me. I'm sure there'll be some more risers, fallers to discuss after the third week of the preseason here, and we'll get you ready for all those fantasy football drafts. Thanks, guys.
All right. Again, that's Jake Letarski of RotoWire. Up next, I'll explain why this Mayweather-McGregor fight, what it really is, and how to prepare for the party. That's next on Sports Radio, The Ticket. Thanks to Jake Letarski of RotoWire for fantasy football and for the fight analysis that takes place tomorrow at some point before the night is over. At least I hope. But the hype will be there for sure, and it will drag on and on and on and on and on. And you need to get your money's worth because you pay a gajillion dollars to be able to see this thing, Mayweather-McGregor.
Wait, we're not talking about the eclipse?
No, we're not talking about the eclipse, but I was going to make that analogy, Fish. Thanks for spoiling it for me.
You're welcome.
Michael Fisher over there in Bob's seats. Bob doesn't steal my analogies from me. We got JP on the other side of the glass, but Bob will be here from 3 to 6 with Mike Prater talking to you on Idaho Sports Talk. I was saying the hype has reached new levels. I saw Stephen A. Smith on First Take hanging out with the Jabberwockies out here doing the dancing. He wasn't that bad, though. Like, it was circulating on the social media streets. I wasn't actually watching First Take. But, you know, Stephen A. Smith had a little bit of rhythm. I was surprised.
I almost thought he was one of the Jabberwockies. So yeah. He took the mask off, and then I got confused.
He had the big old white mask on, and he didn't have the hood.
Like, yeah, the
Jabberwockies have the hood because they're completely anonymous. You need to see the back of Stephen A. Smith's head. What the mask did do was cover up the hairline issues. You know that hairline?
Yeah,
that hairline starts at about the middle of his head, and that mask went back to about the middle of his
going
head.
Going the LeBron James haircut?
Yeah, so it looked like he had a normal set of hair back there because that mask was doing him a lot of favors, not giving him an idea for first take or anything going forward, but maybe not the worst look to rock. At this point, though, the fight isn't really about a fight, right? Nobody is really checking for... Oh my goodness, I can't wait to see the contrasting styles of what Floyd Mayweather and his 49-0 against an MMA fighter, and I can't wait to see how the one style matches up against the other. No, that's not why we're checking for this.
Nope.
We're checking for this because it's something to do. It's like the eclipse in a way, right? It's everybody will be talking about one event, so you just don't want to feel left out.
You need to know what happened.
Correct.
You had to see the eclipse because everyone was going to ask you, did you see the eclipse? What did you think of it? Yeah. You have to. I mean, maybe you just want to watch the YouTube highlights. You have to know what happened in this fight. If there was a knockout, you have to see that knockout.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going to talk about it.
But it's not like it won't be on social media.
I'm sure it will be. But have to
Showtime will try to take down your account, though. If you put anything from that fight on the social media street, Showtime's going to come to your house and rip your cable out. You will not have anything anymore. Yeah, I'm kind of with you. It's sort of the same thing as... You want to know what everybody else is talking about. In fact, it was yesterday. I was at the grocery store, and somebody still said, "Did you see the eclipse?" The lady who was doing the at the cashier, she was like, "Yeah." This is 3 days after the eclipse, and people were still saying, "Did
you see
the
eclipse?"
Feels
like it's been weeks after the
eclipse. I know. So that's why it's become a thing that you have to do because you want to keep up with your friends more than it is, all right, MMA versus boxing, or loud black guy against loud Irish guy, or David versus Goliath. It might have a little bit of all those things. Like, I just want to see. That's why I've said it a number of times. The best result for this is each participant to throw one big punch that lands square against the other guy and they both get knocked out, laying flat on their back. Because the last thing I want is any of these people to win. I don't want Floyd Mayweather to win. I don't want Floyd Mayweather to feel good about himself. Nobody wants.
No.
Floyd Mayweather makes all his money by the fact that you're disgusted by him making that money. That's his brand. That's what he wants to portray. So why would I want to root for him? Conor McGregor is just the ultimate, got no filter and got no respect for you and just out here saying the wildest things. So I ain't room for him either. So I want them both to lose. I know it's impossible. Maybe it is possible.
It actually
what
has
is the scenario
once.
For both of them to lose? Could it be like Mayweather wins this fight on a technicality, like McGregor goes out of his, breaks the rules, basically goes to his MMA style and does something that's illegal in boxing. Therefore, you know, Mayweather technically wins, but nobody's impressed with him. And McGregor doesn't last long enough to impress anybody, therefore both of them lost.
I think people would say they're impressed by Mayweather, though, because he drove McGregor to that point. I think the way it wins is if McGregor wins and then gets busted for steroids or something.
Oh, the John Bones Jones.
Yeah, because if he wins and if he knocks him out, they're going to say, oh, Mayweather just got knocked out. Oh, he was doing illegal substances. Okay, so I think we need a McGregor win and then disqualification later.
It's funny because that result of the steroid loss... That's exactly what Daniel Cormier, like, he lost to John Bones Jones, who was using steroids. And the Cormier is basically the winner. He's like a sympathetic figure. And I don't want any sympathetic figures. No. I want both of them to be ridiculed. I do not
well,
want
I don't
a
think
winner
Mayweather
here.
Will get a sympathy if he loses to McGregor, no matter what McGregor was doing.
Good point.
But I think you bring up a good point. Most people are going to have a party, right?
Yep.
You had to have a little eclipse party. And that's my first question. Do you need to have a party of everyone rooting for the same person?
Yes.
Do you need everyone to be on McGregor's team? Or do you need everyone to be Team Mayweather? Or can you have a bit of both?
Isn't it the rules of a boxing match that you can't have a party with people rooting for separate sides? Like, I don't care like if it's a party for McGregor or a party for Mayweather. You can't have a mixed crowd because the insults get too personal. The jabs back and forth don't really become jabs. They become almost like... to the point where there's like real tension in the room. And you can't have a party with real tension. There's a party is loose. Everybody's having a good time. When you start getting to like insults based on like looks, based on, I don't know, race. They throw race at you all the time to promote a boxing match. I'm not just making that thing up. So when you add all that into it, and then try to have a party when you have both sides there, I don't really know if that's going to work out too well. So I think the number one rule for a fight party is they all have to be on the same side. Number two, how long before the match should the party start?
So that's a great question. So the main event, quote, starts at 7, which is when the first card starts. I don't even know who's on that card. I don't care who's on that card. So you can't show up at 7, right? That's just weird.
Yeah, that's odd. It's way too much time around people.
But the main event's going to start 9 to 10-ish. Depends on how the other fights go. So if you go knockout, knockout, knockout in 12 seconds, well, we can start at 8. So you can't get there too late. I think 8 is when you got to show up.
Okay. And the main event is what time you said?
Main event. Like
the schedule for?
7 p.m. is when it starts. The big event supposed to walk on stage anywhere from 9 to 11 is what I've heard.
Okay. It'll probably be midnight.
But you got to have the pay-per-view ordered at 7 just in case something goes wrong.
I got
you. So you're having a solo party at 7 to 8. Then the guests need to start trickling in. You have your food ready. You can't get there at 7, though.
Now, the fight itself. Is it better for the party if the fight is a long, drawn-out, goes the distance? Or is it a better fight if there's a knockout in the third round?
Only if that McGregor is the one who knocks. If Mayweather knocks him out, it's a terrible fight.
But is it a terrible party? I'm not talking about the
fight.
Yeah,
it's a terrible party because everyone's upset.
Okay, but...
You need the suspense. To get suspense, you need to see a history, which would be McGregor knocking him out, or you need it to go several rounds, unless Mayweather wins every round, and then it's just poor.
I guess it depends how much food is left.
How much food, how much food's
if
left.
If there's still a lot of food left, this thing could be spread out. But if the food's all gone, we need a knockout.
This is why I'm rooting for McGregor knockout, because we have a little KTAK get-together. I heard there's pizza there, and JP's going to be there.
Okay.
And JP puts down his pizza, so we may need a McGregor knockout by round one.
JP held one finger in the air, but it wasn't anything about one pizza. I was like, you just need to end this segment. I don't want to my name thrown into the mix for this fight at all.
Let's move on. Time to move on.
208-424-9300. Third caller to win a gift card for Beef O'Brady's. Go to Beef O'Brady's on the northwest corner of Overland and Eagle to score lunch or dinner. Beef for business lunches, sports watch parties, friends and family, an award-winning menu, huge video wall, big screen TVs awaits. Even JP likes this place. Beef O'Brady's in Meridian. Good food, good sports. Up next, it is a sports update on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Sports Update.
And it's brought to you by the Owyhee Tavern. Make your next dinner occasion in downtown Boise at the newest urban-inspired spot in town, the Owyhee Tavern, Steak and Sea at 11th and Main. You guys were talking about parties and the pay-per-view events and all that. One time, my brother ordered a Mike Tyson pay-per-view. We ordered some pizza.
Nice.
He goes, answers the door to pay for the pizza. By the time he got back, the fight was over. He missed the entire fight because it was like one of these... 30 seconds into the fight, knockout.
See, that's my biggest question with boxing fights is that do you want to have a quick knockout? Because that's exciting. That's like, oh my goodness, did you see? I remember when I was there and I saw Mike Tyson knock out this first.
No.
I'm trying to sound like that dude at the barbershop who, exaggerates everything. He's like that voice. But like, that is something that is memorable. The fight with Mayweather and Pacquiao went the distance, and people think they didn't get their money's worth, but they got more of a fight than they would have if there was a knockout, but it sounded like people would have rather seen a knockout than seen them get their money's worth. So I'm not exactly sure what the strategy. What do you want?
But the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, that wasn't a great fight because Mayweather was just dancing around playing defense the whole dang time.
Dancing around playing defense? That's what Ray Lewis does, and everybody loves it.
Well, it wasn't for lack of effort on Pacquiao's part.
It wasn't a good fight, I agree. But
you have to have people from opposite sides at your party.
No.
You would never go to a Super Bowl party and everybody's rooting for the same
because
team?
It's different. Boxing's
no.
Different.
You need to do that. I have been to some where I've seen remotes thrown. I've seen football thrown at each other.
Boxing's more. It involves like personal. No. It's like got racial tension going on. Like they promote that stuff. You always got a black guy versus a Hispanic or a Hispanic versus a white guy
or
a black guy versus Irish guy, and it becomes more than just two guys fighting. It becomes a battle of cultures.
So what do you? Hey, you want to come to a fight party? Who are you going to root for? I guess you're not invited.
You need a screening process.
That's ridiculous. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
The
Chris
one bright
Lewis.
Side to JP's thing is if there's an early knockout, there'll be more action later because then there'll be a fight at your party.
But we don't want to have fights at our party.
You don't
it's
pay
a
for
party.
It. And it's a free fight.
But this is a party. You're supposed to be having fun. Once we get to the point where there's tension and drama and fighting going on at your party, it isn't a party anymore. It's a debate.
Listen, if the cops aren't called, then it's not a good party.
All right, my question for you. I'm going to follow this up, and I get the joke and everything, but people had debate parties, like from this most recent presidential election. Would you have a debate party with people who are on opposite sides?
Well, no, but
exactly. I
would never have a debate party in the first place.
Well, if there's pizza, you'd be at a debate party, JP.
I might. But then there would be like, what are we going to have? Pepperoni, sausage? That's
then you have a debate
anarchy,
on pizza.
Man. Chaotic.
You don't have. Let,
let's move on.
All right.
Well, go on forever. Florida State President John Thrasher isn't doing the Seminoles and Coach Jimbo Fisher any favors. Florida State opens with number one Alabama next Saturday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. The president of Florida State was quoted as saying, I shouldn't talk too much trash, but I think we're going to beat Alabama pretty bad next week. I really do.
He's talking trash.
Nick's, we need more of that.
Nick Saban is 10-0 in season openers since he arrived in Tuscaloosa in 2007. And there was only a couple of those games. I went back to look at his schedule. They had a San Jose State in there and somebody else. But for the most part, he's playing USC. He's playing Virginia Tech a couple of times. Some, you know, decent schools.
Go president, man. Go out here and say something. You maybe learn from our regular president of the United States. President, you shouldn't be afraid to say something. You say what you want about the guy who's in charge right now, 45, ain't afraid to say whatever pops into his mind, for better or worse. Sounds like this president's taken after that president.
What will they say? This change starts at the top, right? President start talking smack. Soon we'll have players finally saying, hey, we're going to kill him. And say, oh, man, Alabama's really good. They were number two last year. I want that.
We do like smack talk, but that wasn't that smart. That wasn't smart.
Well, that's what they say about our president, 45. Naro, he wasn't maybe the smartest thing, but he said it.
Okay, let's move on from this story before we get, you know, into an argument. Former Boise State golfer Graham Dillette withdrew from the Northern Trust Open yesterday. It's the first tournament of the FedEx Cup playoffs. He has a back injury. Dillette tweeted out, he's injured. Dillette shot an opening round 74. He'll still qualify for the second tournament because of his standings if he's healthy. But he had to fire back at somebody on Twitter who criticized him for the move because the guy had him in a DraftKings golf pool. And Dillette said on Twitter, I don't care about your fantasy golf. I care about my health. Get a life.
Oh, he let them get under his skin a little bit.
Why is that guy playing DraftKings? He clearly does not watch much golf. I've been in three fantasy golf tournaments, and I listen to JP talk about Graham Dillette every time he plays, and I've learned one thing. Graham Dillette will collapse on the weekend.
Oh.
That wasn't the case in the PGA Championship.
True, but every other time I come in, JP be like, oh, going to the weekend, Graham Dillette, he's three shots back. I come back Monday, JP, what happened? Graham Dillette shot an 8-over par.
No, he didn't shoot it. No. He might falter, but it could be because of his back injury.
Was he activating his glutes properly?
I do not know. I could tweet him and see what he says.
How about you just text him, you boys?
I'm not. No, he's got a little big time with us.
Wow.
He's a little harder to get a hold of.
I didn't
want to
expose dirty laundry like that. I thought y'all were tight.
No. We've been following him for a long time. He's a good guy. But don't cross him on Twitter. Do you guys ever troll anybody on Twitter?
No, I never really tweeted at an athlete really before, unless I'm just referencing them for something else, like, you know, the Sixers drafted at Markel25 or whatever his Twitter handle is. Like, I never tweeted at an athlete, you need to do better for me. You think that the athlete themselves don't want to get better? Their real paycheck is their sport. You're trying to win some money in your fantasy league.
That's how you got Le'Veon Bell to respond, though. Somebody said, what am I going to do in fantasy football, Le'Veon Bell? And that's when he announced his return.
You're ruining it for everybody, though. Like, those select fans, I don't know, is it 2%, 3% of sports fans who are out here tweeting at college and pro athletes are ruining it for everybody who's well-behaved. Fans get a bad name. I know all about a whole fan base getting a bad bad reputation from a few knuckleheads, because that's what Philadelphia's been all about.
Occasionally, I like to just troll a little bit. I tweeted at Shannon Sharp because on that show, whatever it's called, Undisputed, they were supposed to announce, I think it was the pairings for one of the major golf tournaments. Well, it turns out they only announced like three guys. And so I tweeted at him, And it was because somebody else had tweeted at him first.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, it was a travesty or something. And he tweeted back, and he's like, whatever we do, not good enough.
Oh, boy.
I got a little response out of Shannon Sharp.
So he's not even an athlete anymore, though.
Well,
he's a media figure.
Yeah.
You can jab at media figures a little bit. Like, somebody who studies film for NFL.com got after me one time. He tweeted something about Sam Bradford is the most underrated quarterback in the NFL.
And what? Being paid?
Well, he said he's the most underrated quarterback. And I said, I quote tweeted it and said, it must be preseason when... ... because we only talk about Sam Bradford in the preseason. Once it gets to the regular season, Sam Bradford goes to the bottom of the basement. We don't really talk about him. And then he tweets back at me like, I think I watch a little bit more film than you. I'm like, dude, I wasn't trying to doubt your analysis. I'm just saying it's preseason, and that's when we talk about Sam Bradford. So, you know, I'm not trying to take your job
so
as
you
a film
watcher.
So
you were trolling the guy. You just inadvertently trolled the guy.
He thought I was trolling him. I was just... Sam Bradford's a preseason superstar.
Everybody just tweet something negative to Shannon Sharp and see if you get a rise out of him. Let's do that in the break.
All right, we'll do that. Everybody, make sure you pull over to the side of the road before you do it. Don't want you doing that while you're driving in your car. By the way, listen to the ticket on your way to and from Broncos fans appreciation day in practice at Albertson Stadium this Saturday. You have Bob, you have Mike Prater, you have me. We'll be previewing and reviewing the Broncos' final scrimmage before the home opener against Troy. Player and coach interviews, analysis at 1 o'clock Saturday and right after the scrimmage. To and from your FM home of Boise State Football, Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket. Up next, things we've learned on the show, and yeah, we'll try to get a prediction on this fight thing that everybody's talking about. That's next on Sports Radio, The Ticket. The end of the show, but not the end of Idaho Sports Talk, because instead of K's, it's Bob and Prater. Although, will Bob step in here and do the transition or no? What do you think?
No.
I'm betting no.
I think he's in an intense Madden game. That's why
I can tell you what we've got coming up. A lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff. Gotcha.
Thank you.
That's a Chris
JP.
Lewis tease right there. A
lot of good stuff.
Is that why they're calling
it? Let me be the judge of that. Nah, I'm sure it'll be great.
No, we've got Scott Jorgensen. He's a MMA fighter, fought on UFC cards. He's going to come on, discuss the fight with us a little bit. Going to kind of dive into a couple of these games, college football games that are coming up over the weekend, including Colorado State, Oregon State, and Faraji Wright, a.k.a. Rex Life Raj, who
will be
the in-stadium DJ entertainment at Boise State football games this year.
I'm going to put his skills up against Mr. West from Omaha. It happens to be my cousin. He's one of the hottest DJs in Omaha. I will take him all day, every day, but I'm sure my man will do a good job with Boise State here. All right, speaking of, like, fights, I just got the image. You have, like, Bob, who's kind of thin. He's not exactly the most athletic guy, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Got Prater, who's larger than Bob. I'm not going to throw any more shade than that.
Uh-huh.
Big dude, though. So what would be the line in that fight?
Between Bob and Prater?
Yeah.
Prater would break Bob like a twig.
Yeah, I would say.
Are you kidding me?
Bob would probably have worse odds than McGregor had to start this fight.
Okay.
I would
bet my house on Prater even if I only got a 1 cent return on it.
You can still make something.
Yes.
It's like interest a little bit. It might be small, but it still counts. What about me versus Fish?
Well, I'm the heavy favorite.
I don't know.
This is the man who has twisted an ankle playing basketball. Hurt his shoulder throwing
skipping rocks. I just needed to stretch before the fight is the problem.
You didn't tell us about your best athletic achievement that you happened yesterday. You were playing with a volleyball in the studio and you knocked us off the air for 20 seconds.
Yes, I heard about that. I think that's personnel file material.
That's already coming out of my paycheck, though.
You can dunk, though, right?
Yeah, in the day.
Was he going to jump over me? That doesn't matter in the fight.
If he can dunk, he can dunk you.
Fish. What is it?
I mean, we're talking, I guess, MMA and just regular fights. We're not talking boxing. I don't got no boxing skills. Like, I don't know footwork.
I'd be concerned he'd throw one punch and his arm would be sore and he'd have to start, you know, stretching it out.
I'll stretch beforehand. I'll be good. And this will go down. You won't make it out of the studio. We'll light that door. And as I'll bring up again, when have you ever beaten me at anything? Like any of the competitions that we've had, whether it's Cornhole, whether it's Tony Hawk, whether it's Madden, you haven't beaten me yet.
I beat you with my boy in Cornhole. I feel like there was some shady business going on because I got paired with your roommate in Cornhole. That was like a personal competition there. I was just the side fight.
You weren't better than me. Like, say what you want. You weren't better than me. So you find your niche, find your good event. Maybe it's a baseball game, but theoretically, I won't play it if I'm not good at it. Well, by the way, I need to get this in. This is sponsored by ProRan Sports, your full-service pro shop and bowling specialist. High-quality bowling balls, bags, shoes, accessories located right inside Westie's Garden Lanes in Garden City. I'm sure they love this segment. Like, they love everything about us talking about fights.
You know what? We could go to Westie's Garden Lane. I'd probably beat you in bowling.
That'd be a good one. That'd be a good challenge. I wouldn't say I'm a great bowler, but I'd also say I wouldn't embarrass myself. My nickname at college was Bright Lights because when we were bowling, every time we had a practice game, I was terrible. But once the bright lights were on, once it was the real game, I would all of a sudden come through, help the squad out. So, you know, Bright Lights could come back at a retirement.
If you got a nickname, I don't know if I want to mess with that.
You're going to try to backpedal off of that game too? This is usually where we talk about what we've learned. So we've learned that I think we're both going to watch this fight.
Yep.
Right? We might watch it at the same spot, right?
Yep.
So I guess I'll see you then, and we'll talk about the different angles from this. Your prediction is?
My honest prediction or what I want to happen?
Prediction.
Mayweather by decision. But I think it'll be closer than people think.
I think it'll be McGregor gets disqualified.
I'm not buying into that.
McGregor does something that he's not supposed to do in the official.
No. He knows he can't do anything stupid. If I risk 90% of his purse is what I've heard he could lose.
He could really lose stuff because of this disqualification?
It's in the clause. If he gets disqualified for an MMA move, it's 75 to 90% of his purse out the window.
They call it a purse. All these tough guys with a lot of money, they got a little purse.
Fighting over the money belt.
How about a wallet? Call it a little purse. I just find that hilarious. Yeah, I'm going to say McGregor does something silly, gets himself ejected, and then he clamors for a rematch because it was an unfair ejection, an unfair ruling, and he wants his fair shot, and then they'll try
will
to
we have a rematch
again.
Regardless of what happens? I think we will.
Yeah.
I think if maybe not if Mayweather wins, but if McGregor wins or it's even close, there'll be a rematch.
And then they'll set it up. Everything boxing is, from at least what I understand, they just set it up for the next rematch. So I think I would take your odds on that one. We also learned that Madden 18 was released yesterday, and frostbite means it moves a little bit smoother. Had a text at Chris Lewis tweet saying that was this person's thoughts who got the game 3 days ago, which I wanted to know.
They're on that GOAT edition.
But yeah, Andrew Ferrassi said it got the GOAT edition on Xbox Live, downloaded it, came with some extra things for Ultimate Team. It's so smooth. I love it. I think this Madden, though, will get criticized for being too similar to 17. The Frostbite engine is a slight upgrade, does make it feel a little bit different, but the same critiques will be there. And I still wonder what would happen if ESPN NFL 2K could still be making games for $20. Best bargain that I think I've ever had.
I'd beat you in that one. That's what would happen.
I think I have that at home. I could bring that. Ooh, bring it in, PlayStation, to set that up. All right, so yeah, Bob didn't come in, so JP was right about that. But Bob and Prater coming up next on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.